Hey, this is Justin with the Fine Audio Video. Finally got caught up with Colby with Advocate Security. He had an emergency that he had to attend to in the field. However, we did catch him for an interview. We were so excited to do so because I know a lot of people were looking forward to it. We still have a lot of questions about all the things when it comes to security. I think Colby covered all the bases and all that good stuff. So it is a phone interview, so it may be a little fuzzy in spots, but we were just happy that we got to catch him on the phone. So please, please, please enjoy with the subject of are you safe, meaning he covers do-it-yourself technology versus using a firm like him. We're so excited to cover the topic with Colby, so excited to have Colby. Colby, thank you so much. So enjoy the interview on your Technology Rocks podcast. Hey, this is Justin with Define Audio Video. We are actually with Colby Wellston with Advocate Security. This is about the only way Colby and I can be in the same room without being bombarded with a million questions or phone calls and or both. So how are we doing today, Colby?
Everything's good, Justin. How are you guys?
Oh, we're doing good. We're doing good. So we wanted to reach out to you. We get a lot of questions with this being an election year and all the crazy and all the scary and all that good stuff. People are calling nonstop with security. Are you seeing that on your end as well?
Absolutely. There's that, and there is also the rise, evidential rise in crime. So there's been a lot of focus on monitored security and then surveillance systems.
So I'm gonna be guilty for a minute on the monitored security thing.
Okay.
Because it just seems like it's one of those things that half the houses I move into, I can't even remember the code half the time and things like that. And are you still seeing that as a deterrent? Are you still seeing that being an effective way with all the DIY stuff that's coming out and all that good stuff?
It is. I mean, even with the DIY stuff, some of that is monitored as well. And as long as, you know, anybody on the outside looking in can tell that the place has got a security system, and they have to, at that point, assume it's being monitored, it absolutely is. And there's been studies on it. There's even interviews of gentlemen that have been put in prison for just all they did was, you know, burglarize homes. And the first thing they would do would be to look for that control panel on the wall. Now, that said, this day and age, you don't really get control panels on the wall. Almost everything lives on the network, on the Internet of Things as it goes. But putting up signage and letting the outside world know that you have that capability is definitely a deterrent.
So I know one of the concerns that we get quite a bit, or we get asked quite a bit on it, is, you know, wireless security versus wired. You know, a lot of people are worried about cybersecurity and things like that. We try to educate them as much as possible that even if it's wireless, it kind of stands in its own infrastructure and it's not attached to other things in the home that are on the Wi-Fi network. Is that still the case in regards to wired versus wireless?
Well, I guess first we need to kind of fill out what wireless means, and it could be either the entire system is sort of like a lick and stick, wireless contacts on the doors and windows, glass breaks, motion detectors, or we're talking wireless, no longer attached to the plain old telephone system. So I'll go at the first part of that, equation. The contacts that exist now, one, are encrypted, and two, they live on a separate frequency that's far removed from anything wireless within the household. The frequencies are miles apart, and that's intentional for obvious reasons. You don't want interference. You don't want your wireless phone to ring and it to interfere with your security devices or show that your doors are open, which is a challenge in a lot of these, speaking of do-it-yourself products. Those products can be overwhelmed by, you know, homebound wireless devices. They're not encrypted a lot of the time. I'm sure they're going to catch up eventually, but the professional security systems are.
That's a good launch pad for that too. Sorry to cut. Didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead and finish your point. Finish your point on that.
Okay, and the other side of it was going to be the communication side. Plain old telephones have pretty much gone away. Now everything's on cell signal. Almost all modern day security systems, commercial grade or professional grade, have a cell communicator at least in them, in addition to a wireless Wi-Fi card. So they're what's called a dual path communicator. You have the cell signal and the Wi-Fi. They tend to want to work, use Wi-Fi first if there's an issue and need to report it to central station or to the app that's on your phone. If that doesn't work, they can use the cell signal. And that cell signal is capable of data as well. So you also can get updates to your app and control, arm, disarm, whatever you need to if the Wi-Fi goes out. So it's a good fail-safe.
So there seems to be a lot of spaced invaders in your industry. You've got, just to name a few, you've got Vivint, you've got Simply Safe, you've got Xfinity now trying to do home security as the gateway drug for offering Wi-Fi and all the other stuff. You've got Verizon now trying to do that. You've got, I don't know if AT&T is doing it yet. I haven't paid a whole lot of attention with AT&T since they've kind of merged with DirecTV. They seem to be focused on the video side of things or cable service side of things, not necessarily the security side of things. But I know Xfinity has started to creep in this particular territory with wired and, you know, wireless things, and they've got the panel that sits on the counter, but now you've got doorbells and door locks and wireless cameras that they're starting to stick up in these clients' homes and whatnot. You know, what is the drawback? I mean, I can tell you the drawback, but what is the drawback? It's the client never stops paying for those items. Is that correct? Is that still the thing?
Especially with ADT, it is. You basically are renting that equipment, and if you decide you don't want to pay anymore, they'll come pick it up. So you're not really buying it; you're renting it. It's a lease
for the rest of its life, and it never gets better. The doorbell never changes. Just unless you have an issue with it and it gets replaced, that experience stays the same. Whereas if I go with somebody like you, then yes, it's a little bit more expensive from the beginning part of it, but it's one of those things where, because it's more expensive, it seems like, but my stuff's paid for and it's over with, you know.
There's that. That's a good component, and it's good that you pointed that out. But there's also the component of the boutique security company. The small security companies a lot of times are also partnered with, you know, the AV guys, the control guys, but their customer base is smaller. They tend to know them personally. I know all of my customers personally, and the response time for servicing or adding or changing addresses even is much faster.
It seems to be a boutique type of thing. Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Okay, and then there's something to be said for customer service, equipment reliability, and then again, you seems like you never stop paying for it with some of these other bigger, larger firms and services.
Yeah, and literally, with the systems that I put in place, when you move, you can take the whole thing with you. And you may need to add a few more pieces to it or replace some pieces because of the age, but by and large, the system goes with you. And that's part of the package that I offer, is the moves are free. So you're not going to buy another system and have to sign up with somebody else.
So, Colby, you've seen some movement in camera technology, and I'm going to let you run wild on the camera technology stuff for, you know, a minute, because it's almost like having a monitored service He kind of caught me in the middle of a delivery. So tell you what, why don't you talk about the camera stuff for a few minutes, and then I'll jump in when we get in, because I just had somebody walk in. So go ahead and let's talk about that. Let's talk about wireless versus wired, even on the camera front, and where you like to see things going.
Okay. Well, first of all, surveillance systems tend to be separate from the security device. I like for them to be separate. You can add cameras to your security system, especially using the services that I use. But what you run into is the possibility if you lose electrical or something at that location, then the cameras go down as well. Or they go down, but they're not recording, and you can't see them remotely. That's the real big deal. Remote capability goes away instantly. Now, and you're not recording to a hard drive. If you do the separate system, which is more of a commercial grade or professional grade surveillance system, you've also got on-site storage for up to a month, so you can always go back and look at those video files and retrieve that information if you need to. Plus, if you do decide you're going to change security to providers, you still have your surveillance system in place. And again, a lot of times those cameras will last you easily 5 years or more, and the warranties these days are lasting at least that long, 5 years. That's the standard on surveillance equipment. So, wireless, nope, that's been something I haven't done a whole lot of, but I have if necessary. And because of the technology on Wi-Fi and bandwidth capabilities, it's pretty robust. As long as you don't really test the limits of Wi-Fi, they will work. But it's not the greatest. I prefer wireless.
So are you still seeing cameras being, you know, hesitation with clients with stuff being manufactured in China and all that good stuff? Or are you still, I mean, is it a necessary evil where it just all is manufactured over there and there's good stuff coming? I mean, I know there's good stuff coming out of there because a lot of manufacturing moved over to there. But are you still seeing clients, that being a hesitation of clients purchasing, or is that just not a thing anymore?
No, well, for those that are aware and keep, you know, aware of the political winds and things of that nature, a lot of times it is an issue for them. Now, when it comes to government installs, yes, there is a thing called NDAA compliant. That means it can't be made in China. They're not allowed to be on military bases or government sites at all. So, but there is almost every major manufacturer out there has a line of NDAA compliant products. Now, of course, being that they're not made in China, they're more expensive, but they're also, you have the benefit of usually being a lot higher quality because they are made in either Korea, Taiwan, or the United States. So, I mean, there is those two different things. But by and large, I would say your day-to-day customer isn't aware. And yes, China has done a good job of copying our technology. It makes some pretty good stuff.
Well, so are you? Is there particular brands that you is your that sorry? Are there particular brands that are your go-to brand for that particular application? If you have somebody that is sensitive to the security breach and all that stuff, I know Hikvision, I think, is in the clear now, right? They can be used now because they went through their checks and balances to make sure that they could be used in government buildings and whatnot. Is there a particular manufacturer that you recommend on that front?
Well, if there's one, there's only one manufacturer in the United States for surveillance systems, maybe two. I would say probably the Bosch product line and Pelco product lines. And I think maybe some Sony, but that's more professional video. But those come at, you know, the price tag of being made in California cost or Germany. So, yeah, I mean, the Pelco is a hands-down best product you're going to be able to buy on the market, but it also comes at that same price tag. Almost every manufacturer of those makes a line that is compliant because they want to be able to get in those doors.
Okay. Yeah, no, and then, so let's talk about another sector that I know that's kind of creeped in your territory, and I've found over the years, and I'll just tell them myself, that this sector seems to be somewhat confusing to me, and that's the DIY stuff, you know, because I'll go into the big box store, and I'm a technical guy. I'm smarter than the average bear in most cases, but when I go to Best, that's what people say anyway. In most cases, when I walk into a Best Buy, it's somewhat overwhelming because I see rows of door locks and rows of cameras and rows of security systems and rows of light bulbs and rows of light switches and rows and rows and rows and rows and rows and rows of all the things. And what happens is I'll get locked on. Well, I love the way this door lock looks, or I love the way these cameras behave, and I love the way this doorbell looks in comparison to that, but none of it works together. So it's all confusing. And exactly. It's one of those things where it's like, you know, or your wife goes to the store and she picks out this doorbell because it looks cool and this lighting because it looks cool. And rightly so, they know what looks cool more than we do. And all that stuff, because I don't pick out anything. And with that being said, it seems like you're trading all of this fun stuff to work with a bunch of stuff that doesn't work together. And that's when it becomes confusing. And then I don't want to buy anything because I'm now confused. And then I leave the store confused, and I don't ask about it until I run into somebody like you. Or they come into our store and they start talking about it again. And it just seems like that's kind of creeped into your territory. Ring has jumped in. Ring has jumped into their security field. And Google has jumped into the Google Home or Nest Aware or whatever it's called. And I'll tell my story with Google. I had a Google door, or I had a Nest door. It wasn't Google. I had a Nest doorbell. And I had August door locks, which worked at the time with the Nest doorbell. And then I had lighting that worked with Nest. And then I had these other accoutrements that worked with Nest. And then about 6 months later, Nest was purchased by Google. And then all of a sudden, my door locks didn't work. You know, it wasn't locked at my...
Your APIs didn't work.
Right. No. Yeah. All the hidden things that was supposed to make everything awesome that worked together doesn't work anymore. And I'm just like, well, what the heck? But now I have an August app, and I have a Nest app, and I have this and I have that. This was three houses ago, but that's the weird thing, is they can just take that away from you when those companies decide they don't want to work together anymore. And that's the scary and somewhat confusing part, instead of going with a firm like you that just kind of knows the lay of the land with that.
Well, that's the idea. I mean, what I can do is take a list of wishes, or take a wish list, I guess a better way to say it, and I go through and have a conversation with the customer about best case scenario. What do you want this thing to do? Not just a security system, but an ecosystem. So it not only monitors and keeps your home safe, you can look at the cameras, but you can also change the thermostat, lock and unlock doors, open the garage door. You can open the front gate if you need to. If you've got a gated community or a gated yard, even you can set up photo beams to detect intrusion for people walking across the yard, which, you know, recently has become pretty popular. But it all of the devices that are added by me are either one made by the manufacturer that has designed and built this security system. They also do all the others. So they're kind of integrating with each other. Not kind of, they are. Now it's become an ecosystem. Just like I said, they're building all of it together so that it works together. And sometimes you can take some Nest products and some whatnots and make those things work as well. But it's one of those things you can have a conversation with the customer and say, yeah, that's not going to work. You know,
but are these products, Colby, are these products really safe and secure? I mean, do you feel secure with a Google speaker in your home listening to all the things and doing all the things? You know, you can literally see the Apple. Part of the reason why I don't wear Apple watches anymore is because, you know, I could glance down at any moment and see my whole conversation scrolling across the screen for no reason, you know, and it's kind of weird. You know, it's kind of murky. I know it's attractive because you can go to Home Depot and get it, or Best Buy and get it, and all this other stuff. But it comes into play is, you know, are those things actually being monitored by the same central station that you guys are being monitored, or is it kind of going sideways, or how does all that work?
Well, that's just it. They could be selling your data, and Google is doing it and doing it without saying that they're doing it, letting you know they're doing it, or asking permission to do it. Either one.
Well, have you ever read terms and agreement? I mean, have you ever?
Nobody does.
Yeah, nobody does, because they just want to use their $600 TV that came from Wally World or whatever. You know, you got to agree to terms. Otherwise, it's not going to work. And if you say disagree, well, then guess what? Then it doesn't work. So, you know, and I see it that way. I mean, I see a point of failure is, ladies and gentlemen, how often do you have to reset your Wi-Fi router? You know, do you really want your cameras on that same Wi-Fi network? You know, how many times does Xfinity go down, or the yard guy hits a fiber line trunk that feeds the whole area? How many times does that happen in your neighborhood? Well, guess what just went down along with that? Whereas a standalone camera device kind of jumps into that, you know, it doesn't matter. It's still recording. But if you lose Wi-Fi, it's not recording anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was going over those points whenever you were just a second ago.
Yeah.
And just kind of explaining the difference between wireless and Wi-Fi.
Well, it just means that I halfway know what I'm talking about when it comes.
Yeah. You're a lot further down the road than most. But I just, back to the Google issue, I have had customers basically tell me they do not want any Google products in their home. And that includes, because Nest works with Google Home, and they've come up with this, I guess, this sort of mentality at Nest that they're going to control your thermostat for you, since you're not smart enough to keep from ruining, you know, the atmosphere or whatever. But they hated it. Absolutely hated it.
So
when they came home, their house was hot.
So what it is it's not actually Nest that gives a darn about your thermostat. It's actually it's Nest Save or Nest Aware or something. And what it is it monitors your habits and how you use your air conditioner. And what it does is it turns it up 1 degree, you know, a month until you notice. And then it waits for you to go walk over there and turn it back down again.
Yeah.
And say, hey, stupid, this is hot, you know. And you can turn that off. It's not just the Terminator Cyberdyne that's messing with your thermostat, but I can understand, because I did notice that feature many moons ago when I had Nest thermostats. And what it was is it was trying to save you money exponentially X, Y, and Z per month. Didn't really have a lot to do with the EPA, but maybe in California Nest, you know, that's different, but that's a whole different animal. Anyway,
it's coming.
Oh yeah, no, it's coming. It's coming, and we've kind of seen it. You know, even I did a podcast. In fact, our last podcast was titled "With That Being Said," because apparently I say that too much, according to Ian. But there was an announcement that they were going to stop making projector lamps, meaning they're not going to make mercury based high output
incandescent.
And all that good stuff. And so that's coming to an end, and there's a lot of interesting things that's going on. So some people have taken the extreme opposite and said, I don't want it connected to anything home. Manual door locks are just fine for me, thank you. And manual thermostats are just fine for me, because if I want it 65 degrees when I sleep at night, then by golly, I'm going to do 65 degrees.
It's my business.
It's my business. And I can burn up my AC any way I want to. So,
exactly.
Yeah, no, I've seen that product trend as well, you know, even on the other side. So one very important part that I want to tell the general audience is, you know, Colby, Advocate Security, we lean on them a bunch because Colby has this sixth sense about scary things. And I'm not saying that he's a scary person. I'm just saying that he can evaluate your home in a way to where most people from Geek Squad and things like that cannot. And one of the reasons why I latched on to Colby is, one, he's worked for the manufacturers that he's worked for. He's worked for the guys that builds the stuff. He knows how it works, ins and outs, and just kind of moves on from there. But one of the talented things that he does is he likes to be the scary guy. I like to be the fun guy, so that's why this works. So, but what it is he's one of those guys that is, you know, if he has, and this is what I want to get my point across, the people that are putting in Ring cameras and Nest Aware, notice they're not called security systems. They're not called security cameras. They're called surveillance. So they're getting away with a lot of that. In the state of Texas, you actually should have a license to be able to put that stuff up. Colby has that license. He's been bonded. He's been he has to do a background check every year to make sure he's okie dokie and falls within that parameter. So if you see Colby at your door, he is a bonded, licensed security person that works with the state of Texas through that license. Is that not correct?
Yeah, that's correct. And the background is actually an FBI background check, so it's very in-depth, and it's just not there's a certain level of individual that can do it, and then, you know, it's designed to be that way so that we're secure and can be trusted, and we get vetted, and it isn't easy. I got audited this year by the Department of Public Safety in Texas, and they went through all my paperwork, all my customer list, and everything that I had to make sure that I was doing things the way that, you know, kept me in the program. So
ladies and gentlemen, somebody like Colby has to do, you have to do continuing education. You can't just sit on a license and not do anything. You have to stay up on the technology. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's correct. And it's continuing education.
Oh, it's like, well, it's like going to driver's ed. Yeah, no. It's literally like going to driver's. Some of these classes are like, holy crackers, this is bad. This is really boring. Really boring stuff. But the thing is when you're hiring somebody like Geek Squad to put in your cameras, or hiring somebody like Geek Squad to do all this stuff, in all technicality, they're not actually licensed. But that's why they use that terminology, surveillance, not security.
Yeah.
So, I mean, exactly. If you have a problem...
There's been some issues.
And if you have a problem, you can't call them to help you bring up... The police can't call somebody from Geek Squad to help them pull up footage. They would be calling somebody like you. Hey, Colby, can you come help me pull up this footage from this date, because we need to look at the stuff and all. You better make sure your I's are dotted and your T's are crossed before jumping into that stratosphere, which is why you're here, which is why we use a firm like you guys, because I don't want to know any of that stuff.
Yeah. Understood.
and that's what makes it a synergy. So Colby, break me down. So take me in to the basic walkthrough and evaluation. When I call you, or when a client, if I'm a client, I'm your client and I'm calling you on the phone, what are those clients, what do they expect, or what should they expect from a firm like yours? What are you checking out? What are you doing when you go do an evaluation like that?
Well, the first thing I do is, you know, find out, you know, a lot of times they'll call me and say that they want some security, and then I have a conversation with them about, let's define what that means to you. So, okay, so that usually will tell me and them, you know, and I can help fill in the blanks for them, what, if any, products that they're looking for, anything new, additional, or what if they're looking for an ecosystem. More often than not, I'm getting just a surveillance system or just a security system. Sometimes I think, and that is really a functional system for the customer, where they can see security, surveillance, thermostats, home control, the whole nine yards, all on one app, and that gives them situational awareness. But more often than not, what happens almost every time, I hate to say it like that, but what happens every time is I have to find out what their expectations are. Right. And then go according to that and say, okay, well, here's the reality of what you want and then what we can do. Okay. And then I'll give them a couple of a menu of items that they can choose from, because to swing for the fences or do the basics. and we go from there.
So, Colby, do you treat it differently if somebody is already, heaven forbid, somebody's already been through trauma? If somebody's already been through an event where they're, I got to go buy a gun, or I got to go get a dog, or I got to go, I got to beef up security, and I want to see all the things. I know a lot of those cases you've come into like that. Is that situation treated differently than just your normal, hey, I want to get security camera stuff?
Yep, it is. In terms of, I do more of, let me do a site survey and to give you complete, and then I'll recommend what I think is going to give them complete situational awareness and the best chance of being secure. Once you've been through something like that, you want all your bases covered.
Right.
And that's literally what happens with that conversation. Like, this is what you need.
In your experience, do you see light at the end of the tunnel with that situation? I mean, is it better off that they just move? Or what are your thoughts on that? Can they fix themselves by a digital fortress, so to speak, with doing what you talk about doing?
Well, on the psychological side of it, that's probably a little bit more difficult. And I'm not sure that moving would help. It might, depending on where they're at and what the circumstances are. But the peace of mind that you get from having the situational awareness, plus knowing someone's going to call the cops, if your alarm goes off, there absolutely does change your mindset and your sense of well-being.
Have you seen on the technology side of things, have you seen that camera monitoring, I know you touched on that a little bit, or maybe you haven't, maybe that was when I was unloading that order. Have you seen that the camera monitor thing seems to be a little bit more effective than the loud noise, scare somebody away type of thing, or is it about 50-50?
Well, the monitor camera, if you're going with my system, it usually has an audible deterrent. So if you're using that system, you have that external audible deterrent. If they see your monitoring company sees a threat, they usually will call out a warning to leave, or the cops are going to be called. And I've got multiple videos of people not leaving after being warned. And still having the cops, but usually they turn around and hightail it. And then there's systems without that audible warning where they just call the cops. And I've got multiple videos of people being arrested that were caught by those monitor cameras.
And that's what you're really after, the proactive way.
Yeah, that's the really best proactive measure you can take, is have your cameras monitored.
Yeah, unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, it's one of those things where Colby and I, you know, we'll get the phone call, and my immediate phone call is to Colby. In most cases, if it's a PTSD thing, or a trauma thing, then he is quick to act and kind of jumps into play really quickly because they're scared. You know, there's nothing. You know, and there's nothing wrong with being scared. Again, as we first entered this conversation, it's a scary world. You know, you got a lot of uncertainty in the political environment right now, where people are terrified and with uncertainty whether they need to be terrified or not. But then, unfortunately, I would say probably 1-2% of these cases are a situation where something horribly has happened to them or a family member, or maybe it happened to a family member and now they're scared because it happened to a family member. And that's where you lean on somebody like Advocate. You know, you lean on somebody like him. And unfortunately, part of Colby's training is that sixth sense to be able to read, okay, this is your weak point in this home. If I were going to come into this home, this is how I would get into the home. And there have been situations where he's had to demonstrate that and whatnot. And it's things that he doesn't really want to know, but he has to know to be a professional at what he does. You know, and that's why I have him, and I don't have to know those things. So, and with that being, hopefully, you know, we've seen some peace of mind and comfort and things like that with people that have been through trauma.
Oh, absolutely has, and it absolutely makes my day to know that people are happy with the system and they feel comfortable. It's been multiple situations where, you know, keeping bad things from happening to good people is my job, and that is a really fulfilling
thing. Is that what got you into the industry that you're in, Colby?
It is.
Yeah, no, and so you started on the manufacturing side of things. So you started you were with the people that actually built the stuff, that you were repping those types of firms that were selling that technology, and now you're on the other half of it, correct?
Well, it started as a technician when I was a teenager, and then went to college, and then went over to the manufacturing and distribution side. So I know all the manufacturers, and yes, you're right, I know the good, bad, and the ugly for everybody. 20 years of doing that, and then got back into doing installations, and I'm really good at it, so I really enjoy it.
Yeah, no, one of the things about if we recommend somebody, or we recommend a firm, or we recommend a trade or anything like that, Colby's more like family anyway, but it's one of those things where we want to make sure clients are taken care of. He treats the clients case by case in the same direction. You know, in some cases they're their own worst enemy, and they've already purchased a bunch of stuff, and then you kind of have to make it work even when it doesn't work in a lot of cases, but it's one of those things. The other story I have, and it kind of plays up to what Colby's been talking about, is there was a situation that we were brought on board in, and it was after the fact. It was one of those things where the client had been in either Italy or France, or they were overseas somewhere, and they came home to their house. And one of the things that we like to do at Define is I want the security system, for the love of all that is holy, to be the security system, and I want the automation to be the automation system, but I want them to be standalone. I want them to be able to work on their own, because just like what happened at my house, when those two manufacturers decide they don't like each other anymore, and then one of them does a firmware update, well, guess what? You're locked out of your house. So, or you're locked out of your gate. And this very thing happened, and it was about 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, and they had called their local AV guy, and they couldn't get him on the phone, and then they called their security guy, not Colby, and they got him on the phone. He said, well, let me run over there and just at least get you in the house, and let's do that. But these people were literally locked out of their home, and I will not name the manufacturers, and I won't name the companies involved. We were brought in after the fact as a manufacturer expert for the automation system to try to do all the things and get it up and going. And one of the main pitfalls that I noticed, which completely changed how I designed security systems and automation systems, is this thing was not designed to be a standalone device. It was made to work within the automation platform. That's a big no-no. That's a big no-no in my book, because things change all the time. Firmware updates break. And the last thing I want one of our clients to happen to is they get locked out of their gate, or they get locked out of their houses because their automation platform isn't functioning the way it needs to function, which is why I lean on somebody like Colby when we're bringing in somebody like that. And I want to make sure that these things are standalone. If my door locks can be dropped into the automation platform, whether it be Savant or Control 4 or Crestron or whoever it may be, great. But I want them to make sure they have their own platform. And if the lighting can be dropped in, fine, great. If the thermostats can be dropped in, fine, great. But it's one of those things where everything needs to be standalone and working on its own accord, especially security. And that's why having an expert like Colby that knows these things, that says, nope, don't use that. If you're going to use this, don't do that. And then he can help kind of design for that scenario if they want an all-in-one, one-and-done thing, because it can happen. You know, brands change all the time. People fight all the time. Manufacturers fight all the time. And I know you've seen that, correct?
People get fired.
People get fired.
Yeah, people get fired. That's a big one. and people get fired or there's, you know, some sort of breakup, whether it be a professional or personal, and you need to change the situation so that, you know, that individual or group of individuals doesn't have back personal things or even your your business equipment, which it happens all the time.
Yeah, no, short story long, you know, keep close with your designer as it comes time to put this fun stuff in. And in my opinion, it's not important for me to drop home security into something like Savant or Control 4. It can be done. However, you know, if your music doesn't work, it's not the end of the world. But if your alarm goes off in the middle of the night and you go walk up to a Savant or a Control 4 or a Crestron panel and you can't turn it off, that's a big deal. That's a bad phone call. So
yeah.
it's one of those things that, again, that's why I stay away from it and I surf away from that wave, is because that's why I used Advocate and guys that specialize in it like Colby and that just know the ins and outs of it. Because if he says, Justin, I wouldn't use that, or I don't think that's a good fit for what you're trying to do, by God, I'm going to listen to him. I'm not going to reinvent the wheel. So because of that situation, this was a large home. It was a 20,000 square foot home. It had two gated entries. Not one of the gates worked to get into the home. Could you imagine that, Colby, coming home from vacation? The last thing you want to have to second guess is your gate controller. You know, they called the security guy, which it wasn't his fault. You know, it wasn't, it wasn't even a security guy that was related to the system. They called a security guy just to try to get in. He was the name of the manufacturer. He was on their website. So they called him off the website at 10:30 at night. He answered the phone, and you know the guy, he's actually a wonderful guy. And he drove over there at 10:30 at night and jumped over the gate and at least got him in the gate and got him in the house. And he's not a very tall guy. Yeah. So he's hard. That was really hard for him to do.
Imagine he probably had to take apart the gate controller.
Oh, yeah. No. Well, luckily it was a 2-in gate controller. But what happened is the driver no longer worked with the certain platform they were. Nothing against 2-in or nothing against the platform they were using. They just decided, what happens typically, Colby, in this situation is somebody somewhere decided, they didn't patented this thing, and we're going to make our own. And when they come out with their own, they no longer work with the old platform. And that's typically what happens in this situation. And that's what happened in this particular scenario, is it just they decided they didn't like each other anymore. And the client got stuck in the middle of it. And all he wanted to do was go inside and go to sleep. So that from that point on, I was like, never again. It wasn't even my situation, nor was it my client, but once I heard the story and witnessed it, you know, after being called in as an expert in the other side of it, I said, never will I ever put a client in that particular situation, because that's a deal breaker for most, you know, when coming home in that situation. So,
yeah, absolutely.
So, Colby, what is your general census about what's going on in your market? Is it going to get any less scary? Is it going to get busier? My thought is it's going to get busier.
Yeah, I agree. And unfortunate for the everyday consumer, when you've got times like we're going through right now, the demand for security goes up. The good news is that with the addition of AI, which, you know, is kind of scary to some people, but it definitely, in terms of the way that it's going to help grow the security side of things, it's given a heck of a lot more capability, the ability to identify threat from something that is not a threat. It's becoming well integrated into it, and it's just going to expand the capability of security systems going forward.
You think
it's going
to
get better and better and better. Yeah, I do.
Interesting.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, that's the only positive thing I've heard about AI. Most of the people are on the other front of it, is it's like Terminator 2 stuff, and they're afraid of it, and
machine learning and AI have been part of the surveillance world for probably the last 5 years, at least, maybe more. And it's been there. Not a lot of people have been using it, but it definitely is. I mean, the ability to, you know, recognize a truck versus a human or a dog, that's AI. That's an AI capability. It just wasn't ever called that. And it's called that on the manufacturing side. It's called machine learning, which is AI. But on the consumer side, it's not.
So that's where it's actually learning face recognition. So tell me about face recognition for a second. Is that something where it says, okay, I know Colby Walston. That's Colby Walston that's pulling up to the driveway at 6 o'clock at night. That's Colby. Is it because, is it somebody like you that's going in there and naming the person that it's seeing? Or is it somebody, does it actually know who you are? And will it eventually do that?
So the way that it works currently, now you can have some stuff that's hooked up to a national database, you know, for the government that does recognize you based, but it's all based off a picture or surveillance of you previously. So the way you would do it now is you set it up in a business, and this is great for businesses that get a lot of walk-in traffic. And it basically, you'll sit there, people walk in and out. Usually what happens is you have an incident, and then you go back and do look at the surveillance. Then you say, hey, that guy, I want him blacklisted, which means if he walks in the door, this surveillance system goes beep, you know, and it gives his name or whatever you have on him. Usually if there is some sort of theft or something, and you get him, if you catch him, then you can't have his name and whatnot. But if not, you can at least put some descriptors in there to let you know who he is, and you don't want him in there. People that write hot checks are a good example of that, you know, if that's still a thing. But you know, you build a database over time. It's not something that it just knows them. You have to tell the system who it is. It can be used for time and attendance. If you have employees walking through the doorway, if you can see when they come and go, and you can, you know, identify them in the system, in the database, put their name, any identifiers you want with them. And you can integrate it with an access control system. So you get, you know, dual verification that they're not handing off their badge to someone. It's them. So you can go back and do an audit on your access control, look at their snapshot. So there's a lot. Like I said, it's growing, it's getting better, and there's a lot of functionality there.
So are you seeing this, I guess that ties into the monitor, you know, the monitored stuff. Is that artificial intelligence that's watching the monitor and then somebody calls, or is that a human being?
It's a combination of AI watching looking for behaviors and identifying human beings after, within a time window, usually at night.
And Cole, what is a service like that? Notify somebody for our listener. What is a service like that? What do you?
It usually runs about $80 a camera per month, but it is the same as having. No, it's not the same. It's better. It's a proactive way of protecting your business, which is usually what they're for. Anybody that's carrying inventory, either in a gated area or a fenced area, or inside of a warehouse that, you know, has been broken into, you have that monitor camera. $80 a month is nothing compared to what it's going to cost you for replacing that equipment, or, you know, what it'll cost you for a security guard. Security guard is going to run you $50,000 a year, and you're paying a fraction of that for monitored cameras. One or two is really all you need on one property. On the points of egress, maybe, you know, any point where people can get to that inventory or equipment, some of the, you know, better known tractor dealers out there definitely use the same thing. And it's worked wonders for them. Their loss ratio has gone to zero in any location they use it.
So have you seen that? So we've seen this a lot. I mean, this is a newer division for us, or for you, I would say. But we've seen a lot of movement in this, in the PTSD or trauma category, where somebody's experienced trauma or a threat or PTSD from a burglary or a home invasion of some sort, heaven forbid. But we've seen a lot of movement there, as opposed to security monitoring. And this is one of those things that can be modified. You can swap cameras, you can change cameras, you can change which ones are monitored or what times it's monitored, and kind of if you start to feel safe again, you can somewhat cancel that, correct? It's not a contract thing?
Well, they typically will sign you up for at least a year.
Okay. Well, I mean, that makes sense too. So going in the AI stuff, let's tiptoe into that for a second. Are you seeing a lot more cybersecure? Are you being asked a lot more about the cybersecurity type of stuff as well?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. And to the credit of the manufacturers that have been in the news somewhat for being what they call hacked. Typically, what you have there is, and yes, and I have had multiple conversations with customers about it, and what we do and what I do on install to prevent that from happening. But I can tell you from past experience, what ends up happening is that the system gets set up and all the default passwords are set up, are left in the system for logging into it and so on and so far, so forth. And even the cameras have their own separate logins. And if you can get on a network that has cameras on it and they've just plugged them in and didn't change the passwords, then you're going to have some vulnerabilities. And that's usually where that comes from. So the first thing that I do immediately is I fire all the cameras up before I ever install them, set password protection on all of them, and make sure that, you know, this day and age, they make it pretty hardy. And it's hard to, it would be almost impossible to hack into those.
Now, are you doing anything on the router side of things too? You know, a lot of these Xfinity and AT&T things have built in alleged, hey, warm and fuzzy feeling security things all built into their routers to where it's giving you a threat alert or doing that thing. Do you find that to be effective enough? Or would you rather lean on something like, you know, Meraki or TP-Link or Eero or, you know, Linksys or whatever? You know, what are your thoughts on all the going into the cyber field?
Yeah, I mean, just like you do, if I'm going to put that surveillance on the network, I would prefer we're on a Eero or TP-Link network. That tends to be a little higher in the cost spectrum. So, you know, an Eero would be a default and a TP-Link would be an easy default. You have your own router. You know, you've got a controller so you can see all the traffic on the network. And then the same goes for Eero.
We get kicked pretty hard on Eero because they're related to Amazon, I don't really see that being a downfall to me. That says, hey, they got a bigger piggy bank than everybody else. It kind of falls into that Google Wi-Fi thing. I'm not a giant fan of the Google Wi-Fi thing, and because they've been caught on the Snoopy side of things as far as marketing and sending you weird emails and all that stuff. Eero seems to have veered away from that as they've jumped into the professional category now with their Eero Pro stuff, and then they've got now their Eero, their PoE injected stuff. And I have found that their firewall has been very effective with threats type of things. In a layman's term, you know, something that the client can navigate without having to be an IT professional or having to understand IT language. It says your account somebody has tried to hack your account 15 times, and here's the following IP addresses, and here's what's gone into your system. You know, Eero still kind of gives me the warm and fuzzy because to me it's like the Sonos of networks. It just kind of works, you know, it kind of works. And you kind of set it and forget it, and you never really have to mess with it. You know, we came from the world from things like Meraki and Luxel and Arachnus and then PackEdge with the $800 access points and all this other stuff. And I found that they don't really work any better or aren't as advanced as what some of these guys like Amazon's putting out, you know, but I wondered if you get asked about that quite a bit because, you know, you're the security guy, you know. It just, okay, well, he.
Yeah, no, I do. And then, yeah, you're right. And you hit the nail on the head. I rely on people like Eero and TP-Link because they're the experts at it. And you put it in place, it's secure.
Right. Yeah.
Ubiquity's a good one. Yeah.
So what I would say with somebody like Colby is that one of the things that you move into when it comes to surveillance, when it comes to the things that they're working on. A lot of people say, well, if my cameras are wired on the network, how are they safe? Well, you know, Colby, you want to jump into that, talking about how they're on their own street, you know, so to speak, when they use a system like you're using. Is that correct?
So can repeat that question to me. I guess I'm trying to understand.
So
when they have an existing system?
Yeah, when a lot of people are saying, well, why are your cameras safer than something like a Nest or a Ring, you know, when your stuff works on the network? That's because your stuff works on its own network.
Own network.
The NVR is on your network, but the cameras are safe because the NVR is the gatekeeper. Is that correct?
Yep, that's correct. And those two systems you just named have both been hacked, and for on surveillance side of things. And that's, you know, one of those things that it, you don't find out till it's too late. Somebody, one of the, you know, guys that are doing the design, you know, left the door open on them, whether it can be a port or whatever it is. And you have some pretty smart people out there trying to get into those things a lot of times. And that's what ends up happening, because they're a retail product and they're, you know, there's a lot of exposure out there in the world to those things. People have a lot of time to figure out how to get into them. And that's what ends up happening with the surveillance, professional surveillance package. They have their own standalone network. You know, it doesn't matter what happens to the internal network. All of that's working always. There's no turning it off, especially when you have the protections built in that you're supposed to for power loss and, you know, power surge and things of those nature, that nature. But
can that be said too for things that come from Hongzhou or whatever, China or whatever, you know, that wasn't being sarcastic or making fun. I was just saying, Okay. I thought it was, that's why I said it.
Yeah, that way. It is.
But is because it's in your system and it is locked down, should they feel safe with that? Because again, the first thing that I'm asked when they say I can't log into my, or I can't get my cameras to work, the first question out of my mouth, Colby, is do you know your username and password? Because if you don't,
exactly,
these devices are made to keep even professionals locked out of them.
You know, so. That's right. They're bricks once you do that, usually.
All right, so, and if you forget your name and password, you know, and that's also important if you're using a firm that's not Advocate, because typically the first thing that Colby will hand you is either a USB drive or a card or something that hey, this is your stuff. Here's your passwords and things. Don't lose this because, for God's sake, I've got thousands of them in the field. I don't really want to remember all of them, but you know, that it's that type of thing. But that's the first thing you vet somebody like Colby, if it's not Colby, is to make sure that you, if you do forget such things, that you have a way to get in or around or whatever. Because once these things are locked down, again, they're made to be locked down. You know, that's the difference between something like a Nest and a Ring versus what he does or what somebody like Colby does. So one last question, Colby, and I'll let you get on to your daily life.
Okay.
The AT&T thing was a little weird, you know, the whole cell structure shut down and internet shut down, and even I think Xfinity even shut down a little bit during that time. Do you foresee weird things like that happening? Do you know what that was? Have you seen any white papers behind the scenes on any of that stuff? Was it just somebody that spilled a Pepsi on the keyboard? Or was it, do you think it was trying to be hacked? Or do you think it's other things? What is your 10,000 foot level synopsis on that?
Well, I suspect that it is something I've been paying attention to. Now, it's possible that you had some engineer, they're saying that this was somebody that didn't follow the due diligence for setting up additional capabilities on the network for it to be able to shut down to the degree it did.
That's a heck of an oops.
It's a little bit more segmented. Yeah, I mean, you're talking about, like, I mean, millions. Somebody's wireless access point going out and it's shutting down the whole block. So right. I don't think
you shut the whole country down, brother.
The government's investigating this, and there's a reason for that. And I think we're going to find out there's more to it than what's been said. I think AT&T was doing damage control. Simplest answer to them would be something just to get people to calm down, not start canceling service, because that's worst case scenario. But I think we're going to find something out, and then we've already solved the problem.
And I think T-Mobile was already. I think T-Mobile was the only, and then the one that what's his name, Ryan Reynolds owned, Mint Mobile. I think those were the only two networks that weren't that didn't go down, and I think that's because they're on the same antenna. And I think Mint is basically rebranded T-Mobile or whatever. I think Mint was sold to T-Mobile, if I remember right.
Right, and their T-Mobile comes from a company called Primeco.
All right. Yeah, there was a rap song about that somewhere, you know, with the little alien and the antenna or something.
Yeah, so they had their own towers, but everybody else co-locates with Verizon and AT&T. They use their cell towers.
Did Verizon go down too? I didn't read about them.
No, but what I'm saying is that they're Verizon and AT&T separate networks. There's a lot of networks that are basically leasing that space from AT&T. They're just rebranding. Right,
It's like Ma Bell. It's insurance. Like Southwestern Bell 100 years ago that were selling their own phone cable and landlines to everybody else in the area. And the reason why they did that is it was jurisdiction related. They couldn't have this service in that area. So, okay, we'll sell it to this trunk and still make money off of it. But, no, I found that fascinating. Yep. I hadn't got a chance. Again, you and I both run literally 1,000 miles an hour on most occasions. And it's one of those things where I was just interested to see if, you know, a lot of times Colby will get what we call in the industry white paper about it before it's actually published, because it's their prerogative, because they've been vetted by, you know, FBI and all that stuff and background check, that they get to, know that information before a lot of other folks do. So I just didn't know if you'd see anything coming across your chat. It was weird. It was, you know, I found it to be therapeutic, actually. I found it that it was amazing that my phone didn't work and I couldn't check Facebook and I couldn't do this and couldn't do that. I found it absolutely, I felt like it was amazing, on vacation. Huh? Yeah, no, I was almost euphoric that none of that crap worked for a while. So, and then when it did work, everybody was mad because they couldn't get a hold of anybody. Yeah, so it's...
Where were you?
It's like, well, if you haven't read the news, there was this little thing called a cell phone outage that happened across the country, across nationwide. It wasn't just us. So, yeah. But awesome. Well, Colby, you've been amazing. I know you've got other things to do. Do you have anything to recap? Do you have anything left to say?
The biggest thing I would say, guys, if any of you guys out there are considering a security system or surveillance, give it a look, do your due diligence, and ask a professional before you make any moves.
Yeah, no, I would.
That's
brother. Yeah, no, I would second that. You know, there's nothing safe about simply safe, you know, and most of those systems can be deactivated with the same frequency a garage door opener could be, you know, and in fact, I'll tell you, here's a funny story and I'll let you go. My wife called she opened the garage and she, you know, as you know, she takes the dogs to work all the time. And the dog, you know, the garage door was open. And so she opened the garage and the dogs rushed out the garage door and it was a big event. And you know, she had got upset about, you know, why'd you leave the garage door open and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, I didn't. And she was like, well, yeah, you did. It was open. So thank goodness my Q security stuff has a history that said Justin open garage door, Justin close garage door, and then about literally 15 minutes later the garage door opened again. if it can happen to me, it can happen to you. You know, just there's nothing fail proof or simple, you know, that's why I lean on people like Colby, because they know the ins and outs of all that stuff. And then we made sure that we both got notifications if it ever opened again or happened again, or we also have a thing called auto close where it sends an auto close. I know Colby does that on door locks for door, you know, to make it sure it auto locks. There's something to be said about people that know what they're doing, folks. It's just, that's what it is, and that's why we lean on people like Colby. Colby, thank you so much for joining us today. I know it was a crazy day for you. I know we planned on doing this in person, and then you got a call, and I got a call, and we all got a call, and just like the Ghostbusters, we got to go chase ghosts and fight gremlins, so... And that's what we're doing in most cases. So if we're doing what we're doing, but we love you. We can't wait to send more business to you. We're elated that our clients will call you or going to call you. But call at Colby. What is your phone number? Your Advocate Secure. I don't have it in front of me, but can you just kind of give me your details, Colby? Colby Walston or Colby Walston Advocate Security and Go. What's your phone number?
The phone number is 281-541-9649.
So that's 281.
Again, that's 281-541-9649.
9649. Got it. All right, Colby, thank you so much. Have a great one. You be safe out there on the ladders and all that crazy stuff. And we'll see you when we see you.
All right, catch you on the flip.
Absolutely. Bye. Yes, sir. So that is your podcast, ladies and gentlemen. That was Colby with Advocate Security. Technology rocks, even on the security side. Lean on Colby if you have any questions. He's nothing short of amazing, absolutely awesome human being, and will get you taken care of on all the fronts between us and him and everybody that's involved. Advocate Security, don't leave home without calling him. They are amazing. So T-Bone will be back tomorrow. I've been flying solo for the past couple days. Technology rocks. This is Justin signing out. Enjoy your evening. Enjoy your drive home. If you have any questions, don't feel free to call us 281-296-6600, or you can call Colby's number to ask him directly. Just say Justin from Define AV, or you listen to the Technology Rocks podcast, and you have more questions about all the things. Happy to take care of you. Be good. Don't text and drive. Eat more chicken and listen to more podcasts. Thank you. Have a great day.